With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It's a big-time show coming up later on in the program. Wild Bill, Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch is going to join us. New season of Deadliest Catch on Discovery coming your way, so we'll talk to Wild Bill about that. Also, it is a Trash Tuesday, so time to take out the trash. Let us know who you are trashing or what you are trashing by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS, and we will take out the trash ourselves coming up 20 minutes from now. Julian Edelman has retired, or has announced his retirement. We were talking about him late last week because the news came forward that he was going to have to miss the entire upcoming season because of that knee injury that limited him to just 6 games last year. So at 35 years old, you miss 10 games 1 year. You miss the entire season the next year. You don't usually assume there's much more football left in your body at 36 after that. Julian Edelman had one of the great wow careers based on what was expected from him and what he ended up accomplishing. Julian Edelman was a 7th-round draft pick out of Kent State as a converted quarterback to wide receiver. That guy's not supposed to be a playoff hero. That guy's not supposed to last 12 to 15 years in the NFL. That guy's not supposed to be on lists and playoff memories and one of the best players in franchise history and a 3-time Super Bowl champion. That guy's not supposed to do all of those things. So I want it very, very clear. I have nothing but great respect for Julian Edelman's football success. What Edelman did on the field was defy all odds. And yesterday, I did a story about Momentous Monday, for Momentous Monday, about Brent Honeywell, a Rays pitcher who was a very highly touted Baseball America prospect and went through 4 arm injuries and surgeries, 3 of which shut down 3 consecutive years of baseball for him. And he was able to fight through it all and pitch over the weekend and go 6 up, 6 down against the Yankees offense. That was one of those resiliency highlights that these great athletes, you have to really admire. And Edelman was one of those guys. It wasn't about one injury or a series of injuries, but there is just no way a 7th-round converted quarterback out of the MAC is supposed to be a 12-year NFL wide receiver that becomes one of the most indispensable players in franchise history. So he was a grinder, and the best thing I can say about Julian Edelman is that he maxed out his career. Maxed it out. He was the perfect Patriot. Because when you would look at a guy that got signed for a lot of money or drafted very high and he was not producing, and the expectations were there, you could turn to Julian Edelman and say, they found him out of nowhere, flyer in the seventh round. He fought to stay on the roster doing anything, became a special teams guy, then became kind of this gadget player and slot receiver and followed Wes Welker and became one of the most important targets to Tom Brady, three-time Super Bowl champion. He was a Super Bowl MVP. Edelman became a clutch player through nothing but sheer will and work ethic and desire. And I've got a ton of respect for guys like that. So I just want to stop right here and say that Edelman maxed out his career, and that's as much as I can say as a compliment for any athlete. He didn't leave any part of his body or his desire or his will on that field. Okay, nothing was left. Everything was taken advantage of. Whatever physical gifts he had, he maxed out. Whatever attitude or desire he needed to max it out, he did. There was no way he could have done any more with his talent or his situation than what Julian Edelman did. He got 100 out of 100, and that should just be it. And he's very deserving of one of the Patriots red jackets that they give to their team Hall of Famers. And his plaque and bust should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame at Gillette Stadium at Foxborough. And that's where this story should end. And you can tell I am leading up to something and going to say, yeah, but. And I don't want to. Sure, I have my problems with the Patriots. And yes, I've rooted vociferously against them for years. And yes, the cheating scandals has driven me wild. And yes, their fans and their media, which are completely delusional and obnoxious and aggressive many, many times over, annoy me. But I just want this to be where it ends. And I don't want to have to say anything bad about Julian Edelman because there's nothing bad to say. And you know what I'm going to have to get into right now. And this is not my choice. I don't want to take today to slam this guy because it's not my intent. I don't want to use any breath today to say what he's not, because it's all about what he is. What he is a max out player. And that's got to be enough. And yet freaking Patriot fans, freaking Patriots media won't just let that be enough. It won't let that be enough. Because last night when Julian Edelman announces his retirement, Twitter is aflame with Patriot Nation banging the drum for him in Canton. And I don't want to have to do this. I don't. And I'm not even going to get mad about this because it's just so stupid. And it's not worth getting mad over such a sad, pathetic take. But Patriots fans and media are driving me to have to address this. Because I don't want to do what he's not. Because there's no shame in being a Patriots Hall of Famer with a red jacket at Patriot Place, getting inducted to the Ring of Honor, and they're all-time greats for their team. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. That's not about what somebody isn't. That's about what somebody is and what they did do, not what they didn't do. But I'm not going to say much besides, I hope this is just a little skirmish right now, because it's fresh, and it's April, and people want to have football to debate. But the idea of Julian Edelman in Canton is laughable. And again, I don't want to have to paint this as something that he's not. He made zero Pro Bowls. People are going to point to his playoff numbers. His playoff numbers are wonderful. Catches and yards. He's second all-time in playoff receptions and yards in the playoffs behind only Jerry Rice. It's remarkable. He was a great playoff player. Zero Pro Bowls and a great playoff career doesn't put you in Canton. There's no historical precedent for that. There's not one player that is in Canton right now that you would point to and say, well, he was a very average player, but he had a great playoff career, and so he's in the Hall of Fame. There's not one. And certainly in this era of exploding passing and receiving stats, when the committee lines up Julian Edelman's career, you can't put a guy in the Hall of Fame based on 10 playoff games. You're never going to do it. It's not even debatable. Nobody goes into Cooperstown because they had a great ALCS and World Series, no matter how many they did. You know, one person pointed out to me last night, what about Joe Namath? Joe Namath iconically changed football. He literally changed football. Joe Namath's stats, by and large, aren't great passing stats. But Joe Namath, via his contract that he signed with the New York Jets and Sonny Werblin, broke the bank on what the AFL and thus the NFL had to do for star players. Nobody made any money before Joe Namath made, I believe, the $400,000 contract that the Jets bestowed upon him. And that was mind-blowing. And that's, the Jets wanted Showtime and box office. And Joe Willie became Showtime and box office. Joe Willie forced a merger. If the Jets get blown out by the Colts in Super Bowl III, what is the appetite for coming together for a merger between two leagues where one is woefully inferior? If Joe Willie's not playing for the New York Jets, the AFL has absolutely no credibility. There's none whatsoever for the NFL to be like, yeah, you know what, we should absorb them. He changed the history of football. So if you think that Namath is in the Hall of Fame only because of his stats, again, you're sadly mistaken. Julian Edelman didn't change football. He had a couple of good postseason games. A couple of great postseason games. Also, Joe Namath made Pro Bowls. I mean, that means that Edelman without a Pro Bowl was not one of the six best wide receivers in the AFC his career. You know, usually put in four and then with injuries or people that pull out. I mean, he wasn't one of the four to six best players in his conference at his position. I'm not going to get mad about this because it's such a silly argument. There's no basis for the other side. I'm disheartened. You know, my friend Adam Kaufman, who's a good friend of mine, is a Patriots honk and a fan, and he has a platform in Boston to give Boston opinions. And in Boston, this is actually a conversation, and he is adamant that he's a Hall of Famer. And I'm slightly bewildered that anybody with half a brain would make this argument, but I have to say, without an ounce of anger in my body about this, and I know a lot of Patriots fans that aren't like this, so I don't want to paint with such a broad brush, but this is why people hate the Patriots, is that there's this kind of like loud, obnoxious crowd of fan and media of that fan base that yells about this type of stuff where the rest of us are like, have you lost your mind? If you're going to put Julian Edelman in, put in Hines Ward. Go look at their numbers. Their postseason numbers are pretty similar to one another. Julian Edelman had 5 playoff touchdowns over the course of his career. That's good for 46th all time, tied with like 20 other guys. Hines Ward had double that. Are we suddenly going to put Hines Ward in Canton? Of course not. Edelman's career needs to be about what it was, not what it's not. And when you adamantly carry the torch and bang the drum for delusional things like this, it makes us have to resist. And I don't want to have to do that, but the Adam Kaufmans of the world and the Patriots media of the world, the Patriots fans of the world that are going to come at me for this take, it's like, I don't know what to tell you. We're both going to live in this same universe. And in 5 years, Edelman will be eligible for the Hall of Fame, and he won't make it. And I'd like to know what your argument's going to be then in 5 years. And then the sixth year, he's not going to make it. Or the seventh year, he's not going to make it. Or the eighth year. And then are you going to be arguing about how he he's absolutely a Hall of Famer then, when there's a room of panelists that just have deemed him not? And you're going to say that they're wrong? I mean, like, where does this part end? That everybody else is wrong and you're right? We got to get Kauffman on the show here, guys. Mraz, you should text Kauffman, because I just want to know, like, when do you give up this fight? There's no Hall of Famer that's never made a Pro Bowl. What baseball Hall of Famer was only good in the playoffs? I mean, like, there's no precedent for that. So when it doesn't happen, which it's never going to happen, that he's in the Hall of Fame, what's going to be the argument? That everybody else is wrong? It is what it is. Edelman was a phenomenal story. Great postseason target. And a great Patriots Hall of Famer. And I just want to leave it at that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, how will you remember Julian Edelman's career?
A playoff gamer, clutch player, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I do think that Julian Edelman has a weird tie into what we talked about in the first hour with Sam Darnold about also being put in the right positions to succeed. I have my doubts that Julian Edelman has his career if he's anywhere else but New England with Tom Brady as well. You know, where we're talking about overcoming obstacles and overcoming odds. I mean, if Julian Edelman happens to find his way onto the Jets, are we even having this conversation about Hall of Fame? No chance. So he did what he did in a great environment and made the most of his opportunity, and he should be applauded and be a Patriot Hall of Famer. But we shouldn't have to rush to have this NFL Hall of Fame conversation with him without thinking rationally and comparing him to any of his peers. 3,000-yard seasons, DA? Three in a passing league?
Three 1,000-yard seasons, right. And I saw this argument on Twitter that he's punished by people like us that don't believe he's a Hall of Famer because of the slot receiver type of thing. That's not it. That's not it at all. It's that Julian Edelman, in the grand scheme of things, was perfect for their system, but not an all-time great. And that's where Canton is. But again, it shouldn't have to be that. Like, he didn't have to apologize for his career.
Right.
It's only the battleground or the legions of Patriots defenders that are insistent about this that make it a battleground. Nobody outside of New England thinks he's a Hall of Famer. It's just that, you know, those that do are really aggressive and really loud and want to argue about it. But there's no question, if Julian Edelman is drafted by the Panthers, he's not a Hall of Famer because he's not in 19 playoff games. I mean, that's what the argument is, that he's a playoff warrior and belong in the Hall of Fame, which he was great in the playoffs, but that doesn't equate to a Hall of Famer. But he had to be in 19 playoff games to even have a chance, and the only team that would have happened on is the New England Patriots. And I think it's also a sign of the modern time that the moment somebody retires, this is the morning after he retired, have to debate whether he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not sure because I didn't do sports talk in 1976. My guess is that if this happened in 1976, the next day it's not, let's argue over whether he's a Hall of Famer or not. That's also a problem here. And, you know, I guess I could have just not talked about this, but is it so weird that that's the only conversation anybody had yesterday about Edelman? It's like the first thing was, is Edelman a Hall of Famer?
And I really don't think if he played anywhere else and had, even if he had the same career anywhere else, there is something to the New England media and the Patriot fans where they need to make sure they flex on everybody and let you know who's an all-time great and who's not. Where I really do think this is a New England constituted thing that the moment he retired, he had to put out. It wasn't like everybody who wasn't a Patriot fan was waiting with the pitchforks to tell everybody that Edelman wasn't. This was all a response to what Twitter and social media became ablaze with yesterday, which was all propaganda out of New England that he's a Hall of Famer. And there is one more nasty thing I have to think of, DA. I want to give Edelman all the credit and career in the world, but this better be it. I don't want 12 months to be having the conversation about Edelman coming out of retirement to join 45-year-old Tom Brady in Tampa Bay after his knees all healed up for the two-time defending champion Bucks. Because you know what? That's the point where I might throw my hands up and say, I've had it with the NFL.
It's such a good point. He plays coy, plays dead right now, and then suddenly comes back to life like Lazarus in August. My knee is healed. Actually, it would happen in October. He would make it through halfway through the season, then suddenly say, I think I'm ready. I think I can come back, and the Bucks have some type of exception that they can put him, slide him under for like some short money, and he comes in just for post-Thanksgiving for like six regular season games and a playoff run.
Oh, I'll be yakking all over the place if we have to deal with that.
When we come back into Trash Tuesday, we will take out the trash. I think I'm going to text Kaufman right now to see if he wants to jump on this morning. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I got to trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
And remember that the DA Show is podcastable, so you get to listen to us when you want to listen to us. Check us out by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching The DA Show or Permission Granted. And you can find us there for your listening pleasure on your own time, either full episodes or the best of the show. And the PGP, all available when you get there. Search Permission Granted Podcast or The DA Show. Subscribe, rate, and review. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I don't want to do this because I know it's going to offend Pete, but it drove me insane this weekend,
oh, no.
DA. Sunday morning, I wake up, go to a local bagel store, deli, gonna get a little breakfast, maybe some bacon, egg, and cheeses on a bagel. And there it is, right behind me, two men, definitely older than me, but not old men by any means. One wearing a Shawn Michaels WrestleMania t-shirt from like 18 years ago. The other wearing a Hulk Hogan shirt. Together, pals, enjoying breakfast. And here is my issue. I understand WrestleMania was this weekend. I understand that wrestling is popular, and I understand there's wrestling fans ever. But if you are that dorkish in your early 40s that you're going to throw on, by the way, not like Mitchell and S made these t-shirts and they bought them last week. Like, they are t-shirts these guys have owned for 18, 20 years. That is not, and I repeat, not, the same thing as a football Sunday and throwing on a Mark Bavaro or an Emmitt Smith jersey throwback-wise to get ready to watch your current team. There is something wrong with you if you're an adult in your late 30s, early 40s, clearly not into it with your kids, where you're donning shirts from 20 years ago, living in the glory years of Shawn Michaels because WrestleMania is on this weekend. I'm sorry. I love what you love, hobbies what you have, but embrace the fact you are a loser. Trash him.
Okay, trash them.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Well, let me ask you, Mraz, how is this different if you and one of your buddies went to the bagel store and were wearing an Eli Manning t-shirt and a Kerry Collins jersey?
Because it's different. Number one, the players wear jerseys. It's what you do at the stadium. I'm not wearing some kind of caricature tee of Dave Meggett running through a hole or something like that. You know, I would have more respect if these guys came with, like, the Speedos that Shawn Michaels wore and got in uniform. At least I'm wearing something reflective to
okay,
what's going
on
the field.
Say you met before a big Yankee playoff game with one of your buddies and were wearing your jerseys or, you know, one of your Phil Rurudo t-shirts.
It's not the same! Baseball is not the same! Adults from all ages can enjoy baseball and football. Wrestling is for children! You're a child if you wear that. It's for children. Let the children order WrestleMania and love WrestleMania. You don't show up and wake up on 10 hours before the event with your faded t-shirt on. You're a loser.
Once again, the least mature person of this group, and maybe of the geographical region that we all live in.
A country.
Is dictating how people should behave and what they should like.
Pete, I'm sure you have a response to this. What do you think about Mraz's trash?
Well, I'd like to ask Sean, what about people that wear concert t-shirts?
I kind of look at them funny, too. I get, you know, what good is the concert t-shirt after the first week you attended the concert? But I don't see people in the bagel store the day before a big, I don't know, Rolling Stones concert with the big tongue rolling out of their mouth from the same concert they went to 30 years ago. And if I do see those people, I would say, frankly, you're a loser also.
Well,
but there's something to the wrestling
when
thing.
You wear the worst jersey you have in your closet into a bagel store.
Okay, fine. I also wear those only on game days, and it's football. It's not wrestling.
You
football,
have not given
wrestling
a solid
is a clock. You
this,
check out of wrestling by sense. 16 years old, and you don't check back in.
Okay, so that's the difference here, that a concert goer can go to a concert at any point in time in their life, and it's okay. sports the same thing, but wrestling you just feel is for kids, and these are adults who are trapped in their adolescence.
Yes, at some point, just don't you grow up? And I haven't grown up a lot, but don't you grow up?
I don't know. Do you grow up, man who cries over Ryan Callahan retirements and gets mad at Evan Ingram for dropping a pass as an adult? I mean, again, glass houses, okay. Man. I love you, and I don't disagree, but you're the wrong person to be fighting this fight.
Maybe. But here is a larger point that Mraz is not getting to. Wrestling is scripted. Wrestling is fake. Wrestling are characters written into a TV show. So it's kind of like two people wearing a Friends t-shirt the day before a big Friends episode and talking about Friends. Okay? That's where it is a little bit ridiculous.
What's wrong about that, though?
Well, I mean, we would look at those people as kind of dorky. Like, you're wearing a pair of Seinfeld t-shirts before the Thursday night Seinfeld episode to talk about Seinfeld. We'd be like, you know, that's a little bit weird, right? But also, and it's not a perfect comparison because it is true, you don't get into Friends when you're 9 and then you stay a Friends fan until you're 40. You get into wrestling when you're 9, and many people grow out of wrestling except for a handful of, well, not a handful, a lot of, I guess, grown adults.
Oh, wrestling is for the same people the Nickelodeon NFL broadcast was for. Think about that.
Thanks. Well,
no, because that was for kids. Wrestling is for kids and adults.
Adults with kids that want to bond with them, not for singular adults, just like SpongeBob squirting some kind of juice all over Mitchell Trubisky is not for them.
Well, but don't forget, like, again, I think the best point is what DA just said, but wrestling will tell you it's not just for kids. This is not cartoon wrestling. It's not meant to be on at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning after Saved by the Bell. It has plenty of entertainment for adults. It is for adults. Whether you think you should like it or not is another thing, but they're geared to bringing in an adult audience. Right. That's why it's on at 9 o'clock at night on USA and why there's women in bikinis and guys with no shirts on and they have adult storylines. It's not kids. It's not me watching Saved by the Bell right now telling you how cool Zach Morris is. It's not that simple either, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin doesn't crush beers in the middle of a ring because kids are watching.
Right. Because losers are watching. Bogus, it wouldn't kill you to hate something. You know, you don't have to love everything. You don't have to defend the wrestling fans.
But again, tomorrow you're going to cry over something that's equally ridiculous, or you're going to be in the bagel store next Sunday recapping your hanging on for dear life flag football career as if that's important. So it's just crazy to me that you're the guy yelling at Pete for this when you have just as many insane likes and hobbies as well.
Same man that ate dog poop.
Well, there's that as well.
Me playing adult rec league sports is the same as watching men wrestle in their underwear scripted.
You don't play.
How seriously you take it is the comparison. The fact that you think you're Algie Crumpler and you're demoted to center, that's the problem, not playing it.
But let's look at some of the people that we know that really love wrestling and that are adult males that work in the building, okay? Do we find it a little weird that, like, those guys are all into a scripted TV show? And they talk about it like it's real. Like when Evan Roberts and Pete Hoffman and those guys talk about wrestling like, yeah, I really think so-and-so is going to do it. I really think he deserves to be the champion. I really think he's got what it takes. Don't we all look at them askew like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just they decided an office in Stanford, Connecticut, who wins? Why are you guys debating this like it's sports?
Yeah, if you think the Julian Edelman Hall of Fame debate's dumb, how about a wrestling Hall of Fame debate, which again is all half predicated on people deciding that somebody's going to be successful. That, to me, that is where I can't follow because, and who said it yesterday? I mean, The Miz did a radio tour last week about fighting Bad Bunny, knowing he was going to lose to Bad Bunny. Like, that is insanity. But if Pete wants to like it and wear a Bret Hitman Hart t-shirt, then go ahead.
That's right. Damn it.
Just never wear a leotard. Never wear the spandex.
That's coming.
Pete.
Well, I mean, Mraz, what do you feel like when we walk through our offices and people are having serious conversations about wrestling? Like, I think Roman Reigns is going to be the champion. I think he's on that ascent. I've heard this, like, the trajectory. Maybe it's not Roman Reigns. I have no idea. But it's, you know, they're talking about it like we talk about Julian Edelman.
That's, I think, where I have the crux of the problem and why I think Pete's a little different than the guys I'm talking about at the bagel store. If wrestling is a guilty pleasure of yours and you embrace the fact that you're a nerd about it, like, I think that's okay. It's when you actually break it down like it's real sports and get pumped for it like it's the Super Bowl and have to wear the t-shirts and have those conversations, having Hall of Fame candidacy conversations, and who's going to win this bout. Like, that is where I look at you like you're a deranged loser. The people that know it's scripted are just kind of into it for, like, oh, it's entertaining to me. I'm not going to wear the faded t-shirt. Like, Pete, I actually falls in that line where, look, he knows he shouldn't be into it, the age he's into it, and he can't help himself.
That's
so,
exactly
I like, I'm
is.
Okay with I, that. You're right. Those dorks in the newsroom,
they're dorks.
Breaking it down like they can't, you know, Monday Night Raw, can you believe what's going to happen on the co-main event? Get lost. I mean, seriously, it's got to be a better hobby. Get
Damn
a Lionel train set, will you?
Well, no, it's true. Pete has a healthy, I think, separation from it. Like, when we talk to Pete about wrestling, and I'll loop you in here, Pete, you don't talk about it like some starstruck child about it. Like, you have astute observations. Like, this made sense that they did this. I think this is why they did this. Like, you always look at it from a, they're doing that.
Correct.
You don't look at it as like, I really think my guy is going to win Royal Rumble this week because he totally deserves it and stuff like that. So do you feel like those guys that discuss it that way are also a little bit crazy?
Well, yeah, if you get too into it like you are a 12-year-old, yeah. I look at it, like you said, I look at it more as a just an analyst, analyzing it, basically observing the storylines and what they're doing. And am I entertained by this?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us, though, we know at home you're doing Randy Macho Man Savage voices at the TV screen.
Whenever the doorbell rings, I do the Hulk Hogan in the ear thing.
Someone's coming over.
Hold on. I got to do the Hulk Hogan thing.
Ding dong. Wooed at the mailman the other day. Yes, I do that at home.
Hogan was awesome. We got to admit, Hogan was, out of all the guys, he was awesome. Well, that's the other thing. Like, they're making a lot of retro wrestling gear now for stuff in the 80s. I mean, is it okay to wear like a Target Hulk Hogan t-shirt, Mraz? Like the same thing you would wear a Mountain Dew t-shirt or Diet Coke or any of those retro shirts?
I guess Sesame Street? I guess that's fine. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. You're asking me to define an undefined line. I guess that's fine. But, like, these dudes' shirts were fake. Like, they were from, like, when I was in junior high and they still own them. Like, that's where I was just like, are we kidding me? Like they couldn't wait just the one day a year to break out that shirt. It was just, ugh.
Well, what do you think about Jody Mack? He's got to be in his 60s, maybe 70s, and he's still in.
Or 90. We don't know. Or he's 20. It
right,
could be a lot
he,
of things.
He just turned 21, and he just has been smoking a pack a day since he was 7.
Excuse me.
What do you think about Jody Mack? He's in his 60s, and he really loves wrestling.
I mean, but, D.A., that you just asked us to define guys. Like, that is exactly, right? Like, my answer to that would be exactly. Like, look at Jody Mack, exactly. That do you want to be Jody Mack? Like, honestly, like, if you were to wear those shirts in the bagel store, I would put a picture of Jody Mack, have him coughing all over the place, be like, this is what you want in 20 years. This is who you are. So, no, you don't want to be Jody Mack.
4227.
My response to that would be exactly. Arch. All right, Bogues, who are you trashing?
I got a fat guy tweet about me, or trash, I should say, this week. I'm trashing Reese's, the candy company, for only recently deciding, having the great stroke of genius to put Reese's Pieces inside their other candies. My kids had Reese's Pieces inside the Reese's peanut butter egg in their Easter basket. There's also this amazing candy bar called the Outrageous. They put it inside peanut butter cups. I mean, it is genius. Whoever did this deserves an award, but also getting trash for not doing it until recently. I can't believe they went this long without combining all of their delicious candy. So get them out.
Okay, trash them.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Missed opportunity by Reese's. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing movers that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh.
On Saturday,
so all
I
of them.
Before I ordered a delivery of a crib, and they had said, oh, no, we can't deliver it Saturday. We got to deliver it Monday. So I'm like, all right, we'll wait till Monday. I'm not at the house, and, of course, they deliver it on Saturday. Get in line. Get yourself straightened out. Figure out what you're doing if you're a delivery person. Get you out.
Overflowing Landfill.
I am trashing anonymous guy on Twitter that comes at you with the harshest take. I understand that social media is made for debate. I realize that people like to get stuff off their chest. But if you have a really, really harsh take, you really want to be super critical, and you're anonymous, immediately you have no credibility in your take or your opinion or your ridiculousness, because what you're just doing is obviously hiding from what you're saying. You know, I was thinking about like Twitter and social media, Facebook, etc. Facebook a little bit less, but has allowed us to be anonymous message boards on social media or on the internet to really trash things. But what was the precursor to this? If you really hated something, you had to write a letter or call somebody and hide your voice or be anonymous. If you wrote a letter, you couldn't have the return address. Before that, did you have to go to a town hall meeting and hide in the shadows so that nobody knew who you were as you were shouting something? I mean, what exactly, how did you get your message across before Twitter to where you could still be anonymous because you were embarrassed, I guess, of what you were saying? That's the whole point. If you come at me with an opinion or you say something crude or whatever, look, as long as you have your name and a real picture attached to it, I can respect it a little bit. At least you're standing by what you're saying. But if you're completely anonymous and you have, you know, some ridiculous avatar of a cartoon and it's just a series of numbers and letters and you're going to tell me something, that means even you're embarrassed of what you're saying, which means it doesn't really count. I'm trashing them.
I smell rotten eggs.
855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I believe Josh is in Topeka here on CBS Sports Radio on the Julian Edelman debate. Josh, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, wonderful, man. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I just got a quick question. What's the chances of Tom Brady pulling his magic and convincing him to come to Tampa?
I guess it depends on his knee. And thanks for the phone call, Josh. I think if Julian Edelman could play, he would play. And he probably is totally enamored with the idea of joining up with Gronk and Brady for another run. But I have to imagine that knee situation is really serious because he missed 10 games last year. And the prognosis was he'd have to miss all of this season. If he can play and he's out of the Patriots contract, would he want to play for the Bucs? I'm sure. But it'd be a pretty low blow to the Pats, who I think are helping him out here with how they're handling his situation and his contract. So I wouldn't expect that to happen. I think the knee is really legitimately mangled. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS on a Trash Tuesday. When we come back, we continue talking about Sean Payton, a movie, and Kevin James, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Bogus.
Oh, we actually are doing the update here? Oh. Okay. All right, we got 3 minutes. Okay, so we're just going to do a read and then get out. Okay, Bogus, you got updates.
And that's sponsored by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. The Denver Nuggets lost last night at Golden State, 116-107, but that doesn't matter.
Murray right to the rack, gets hammered, and he'll go. Oh! They're just going to say he lost that. That's a challenge.
He's hurt. Jamal's hurt.
And he's grabbing his left knee. And he is in severe amount of pain.
That's Jason Kosmicki and Vic Lombardi on Nuggets Radio. Murray injured his left knee, planting the leg. He did not get knocked down, as the clip said. He was writhing in pain, slapping the floor. Further evaluation for him today. As for the game, as for that Warrior win, 53 points for Steph Curry last night. Early in that effort, he passed Wilt Chamberlain on the Warriors' all-time scoring list. Utah's 24-game home winning streak ending at the hands of the Wizards, 125-121. Baseball last night, a 6-2 win in Pittsburgh for the Padres. The Marlins, a 5-3 win in 10 in Atlanta. And the A's, 9-5 winners in Arizona. Oakland, 4-1 since its 0-6 start. The Tigers won A.J. Hinch's return to Houston 6-2, and the Angels dumped the Royals 10-3. That included a two-run homer from Mike Trout. Quickly, hockey last night, Chicago topped Columbus 4-3 in OT, and the Jets lost in Ottawa 4-2. And now, D.A., you can do whatever you want.
Well, see, that was worth it. That was a good update. Okay, when we come back here on the show, we were talking about Kevin James, Sean Payton, and a Netflix movie. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Oh, shut up, Pete. You know what? Take a lap. Shut up. No. Shut up. Everybody was talking. I got interviews. I got boxes of chocolates. I got teddy bears. Nah, 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 nah. 11:10.
There it is.
You got to shut up once in a while.
How about you shut up
You
once
don't know
in
how
while.
To shut up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Everybody, shut up. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Steph Curry. 21 first quarter points last night propels him past Wilt Chamberlain for the Warriors' record all-time point score. 33 years old, Curry could approach 27,000 points if he re-signs there and maintains a 24-point-per-game average, which he has. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger, for all the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 supported access to experts. Call, click Grainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Big news out of that game was Jamal Murray's injury, which we will talk about coming up at the top of the hour. Netflix is going to have a movie which is made by Adam Sandler's Happy Madison Productions, so it's a Sandler-esque type movie, which is about Bountygate, kind of. Remember the year that Sean Payton was suspended by the NFL for Bountygate? Well, he ended up coaching his son's team, a peewee team, sixth grade football in the Dallas area. And Adam Sandler's production team thought it would make a good movie. So a movie based on Sean Payton being suspended for the year for Bountygate, you know, that happy-go-lucky scandal, is going to be played by Kevin James. Now, the first thing is, Kevin James, is he the right guy to play this? Mraz, you're kind of the Kevin James of CBS Sports Radio. Do you think that this is a good actor to play Sean Payton?
No, I think it's insulting to Sean Payton to have a guy who makes fast food jokes nonstop play one of the great coaches the NFL currently has off a scandal. This is not exactly breaching the role we see normally of Kevin James.
So you think that Sean Payton specifically deserves better than Paul Blart?
Yeah, if we're going to run Sean Payton through the mud off Bountygate to make him feel good for coaching his son's team, I don't think he needs the guy making fart jokes and two failed sitcoms playing him.
Well,
I'm sorry, failed is wrong.
Yeah, not failed. I mean, he's a huge star because of those sitcoms.
Because of the first sitcom. Yeah, Kevin Can Wait was a failure. I'm sorry. And I loved it, but it was a failure.
Okay. What do we... Yeah, it's weird. A lot of people have pointed out that Frankie Muniz looks a lot more like Sean Payton now than Kevin James. So that's absolutely true. But, you know, Kevin James' box office for Netflix, I guess. You know, he has that racing show on now that we promoted with that guy that was in the racing show.
Oh, yeah, you don't even remember the name we promoted.
The
it.
Team. No, the crew.
The crew.
One of the greats.
I mean, this production crew just made Hubie Halloween, and we're making this Sean Payton movie?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think that they're going down the road of slapstick, family-friendly silliness for Netflix. I think that's what Sandler is now doing, and Kevin James is kind of like his satellite guy, where if he doesn't want the role, he just gives it to Kevin James. Number two, is this a feel-good story? I mean, he was suspended because the league said you're basically headhunting at the height of CTE concerns.
Yeah, you can't spin this. Whether he coached his kid's team, and that part of it was nice or not, the reason he's coaching his kid's team is because of a terrible ordeal at the heightened era of CTE in the NFL. You can't spin this into a feel-good Kevin James honky-dory story. It's stupid.
There's also a hook here that I am annoyed by, okay? And I'm sure the movie's going to be corny. But look, if somebody wanted to make a movie about me and they wanted Kevin James to play me, I'd be like, okay, fine. I mean, who cares what, how it gets done? Just get it done. But did you know that Sean Payton has a daughter who works for the NFL Network or did a story or two for the NFL Network?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So Sean Payton has a daughter, Megan, who did a story, I think, about this for NFL Network. I think she's an aspiring reporter. This is where the hook comes in, and I think it's going to annoy you too about why this is suddenly a movie. We'll do that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.